Critical Analysis of Bid'ah by Sheikh Abu Adnan, CD 3.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We continue our series of critical analysis of innovation. Today, we want to talk about the definition of innovation and what is the definition of innovation linguistically, Islamically, and all the issues to do with the definition, inshallah. The definition of the word bid'ah in Arabic linguistically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, badi'u samawati wal ard. He said about himself, badi'u samawati wal ard, the originator, badi', listen to the word badi', the originator of the heavens and earth. So linguistically here, it is to create, to invent, to do something with no previous example. To invent something with no previous example. Yani, based on this, for example, the Arabs would say, لَسْتَ بِبِدَعٍ فِي كَذَا وَكَذَا. Yani, you're not the first one who done such and such. That's what it is. So, to do or to create or to make or to invent something with no previous example. Yani, for example, mobile phone, it is called a bid'ah linguistically. An innovation linguistically. The person who invented mobile phone, he's called Mubtadi', an inventor, someone who invented something. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse number 9, مَا كُنْتَ بِدَعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. You're not something new from or from amongst the messengers. Yani, you're not the first one, you're not the first messenger to be sent to mankind, and what you came with is not something new to mankind. Bid'an min al-rusul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wasn't something new. There was messengers before him. So first, in a linguistical meaning, it means anything that is newly invented. A car, a phone, mobile phone, computers, software computers, all this under the linguistical term. As for the Islamic term or the technical term, Imam al-Shatibi, he had the best definition for that. But other ulama added and subtracted from it. The easiest way is tariqatun fi al-din mukhtara, a newly invented way in the religion. A newly invented way in the religion. Tariqatun fi al-din mukhtara. طيب. Of course, the ulama, they have longer definitions, but I am going to go through two of them so we can understand them very well. The first one, which is simplified one from the Imam al-Shatibi's one, tariqatun fi al-din mukhtara', a newly invented way in the religion. It comes from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever invents something in the matter of hours, i.e. Islam, will have it rejected. A newly invented way in the Sharia. Another definition, which is alike better, which is more encompassing, التدين لله بما لم يشرع أصلا أو وصفا مما كان المقتدي له موجودا والمانع منه معدوما في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب. After looking through the evidence in the Quran and Sunnah, some ulama has defined it like this. التدين لله, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what do we mean with the tadayyun lillah? To worship Allah. To take something as a religion, as something you follow to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. طيب. It could be practiced by the limbs. It could be practiced by the tongue. It could be practiced by the heart. It could be a doing or abstaining from doing, as we spoke last week. Either doing or abstaining from doing. Doing as, for example, to start a new way. For example, like the innovation of the Mawlid. Abstaining from something, like someone would say, I want to abstain from eating meat to get closer to Allah with it. And this is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never abstained from. Yes, to say, I want to worship Allah by abstaining from eating meat. And differentiate, of course, between it and between someone the doctor said to them, don't eat meat because you're going to get sick. Another issue we add in this definition at-tadayyunu lillah, in this part of the definition at-tadayyunu lillah, why we say at-tadayyunu lillah? Because we have to differentiate between disobedience, al-masiyah, and innovation. There is a difference between innovation and disobedience. Every innovation is disobedience, but not every disobedience is an innovation. Because, listen, someone who practices an innovation, he's thinking, according to his understanding, he is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. That's why we say at-tadayyunu lillah. Because the masiyah, the disobedience, when someone falls into it, he knows he's not worshipping Allah with it. That's for the first part, at-tadayyunu lillah. Bima lam yashra, with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never legislated. And this way, يعني you can only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through whatever he legislated in the Quran or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the consensus of the ummah is on it, or one of the companions or some of the companions have practiced, and we do not know any textual proof, which is the Quran and sunnah, goes against it. طيب. So, the definition goes like this. التدين لله بما لم يشرع أصلا أو وصفا. So, to worship Allah or to take something as part of the religion with whatever he never legislated. أصلا أو وصفا. By principle or by description. By principle, يعني to worship Allah سبحانه وتعالى by something he never legislated. The principle of it, it doesn't exist in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Al-wasfan, or to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something, the principle of it exists in the Sunnah, but the description of it or the way it is performed, it doesn't exist in the Quran and Sunnah. And this is when the Imam al-Shatibi divided it to bid'ah haqiqiyya and wa bid'ah idafiyya. Bid'ah haqiqiyya, a true bid'ah, which is by principle, it doesn't exist in the Quran nor in the Sunnah. And the idafiyya, the added bid'ah, where the principle of it is in the Quran and Sunnah, but the way it is practiced, the method it is practiced, it is not in the Quran and Sunnah. And to further prove the issue of bid'ah divided to added bid'ah and real bid'ah, here Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said, and listen to what he said, this is in Fath al-Bari. He said, وَالْمُرَادُ بِهَا, and the meaning of it, مَا أُحْدِثَ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ أَصْلٌ فِي الشَّرْعِ, whatever it is been invented and has no principle in the Sharia, وَيُسَمَّى فِي عُرْفِ الشَّرْعِ بِدْعَةٍ, and it is labeled and it is called in the Sharia as an innovation. And Imam Hafiz Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْمُرَادُ بِالْبِدْعَةِ مَا أُحْدِثَ مِمَّا لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ فِي الشَّرِيعَةِ يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ. The meaning of innovation is whatever invented and has no proof or no principle to it in the Sharia, used as a proof for it. So this is, he's talking about the bid'ah which has no proof in its principle in the Sharia. طيب, for example, like the Mawlid. Mawlid has no proof in the Sharia, not whatsoever. For example, the decoration of the masjid has no proof to it in the Sharia. Elevating the graves and to write on it, all this has no proof for it in the Sharia. And also, for example, the bid'ah of some of the Sufis who say, or extreme Sufis who say, we reach a level where we do not need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. We're not obligated anymore to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you see, this is a bid'ah which has no principle in the Sharia, and the Imam al-Shatibi called it true bid'ah, true innovation. The second one, where in the description of it or the way it's performed has no proof in the Sharia. And this is where a lot of people fall into it without paying attention. And if you revise what we studied last week in the last lesson about the factors that makes an act part of the Sharia, you would find it helps you in understanding this. Let's take, for example, the dhikr in a circle. Of course, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a proof in the Sharia or not. Yes, but the way it is performed, it has no proof in the Sharia. Let me give you another example. Someone says, I want to wear a jumper made out of wool as a mean to worship Allah with it, as a sign of humbleness, and as a mean of worshiping Allah. Would that be then an innovation or not? Yes, because he added a virtue for wearing wool. But if he would wear it as a habit, as what normally people do, then it is not an innovation. And for example, what people have invented in the middle of Sha'ban, where they pray all night. The one would say, what's wrong with praying all night? Isn't it something that the Sharia encouraged us to do? What is the answer for that? Of course, it is simple. The Sharia wants you to pray all night, and it wants you to pray tahajjud. But to specify a night with tahajjud, and you call the people to it, with no authentic proof for that, that would make it an innovation. طيب. This second principle, which is called an added innovation, the companions understood this from the Sharia. For example, as it is collected in Sunan al-Darimi, in his introduction, where Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he blamed the people for doing collective dhikr inside the masjid using the stones. And Ibn Umar, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, in a chapter of Al-Adab, and when someone sneezes, you say, Alhamdulillah. Ibn Umar heard someone says, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. He got very upset with him. And he said, this is not the way. The Sahaba understood this, that the principle of it is Sunnah, but the howness, the way it is performed, it is an innovation, wal'iyadu billah. So, as you see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, innovation is split to two. Bid'ah haqiqiyya, a real innovation, wa bid'ah idafiyya. Bid'ah idafiyya, which is an added bid'ah. طيب. When we studied last week the factors, you go through and anything goes against these rules, you would know it's a bid'ah idafiyya. As for the bid'ah al-haqiqiyya, as we said, like the mawlid and the bid'ah of Jahmiyyah by denying the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue the definition. So the definition goes like this. التدين بالله بما لم يشرع أصلا أو وصفا مما كان المقتدي له موجودا والمانع منه معدوما في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now the last part of the definition, which is ما كان المقتدي له موجودا والمانع منه معدوما في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So whatever was the need or the necessity for it existed, and the prevention from practicing it did not exist in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why the ulama added this? To give us a clearer understanding, more accurate understanding, to differentiate between innovation, bid'ah, and maslaha mursala. Maslaha mursala, maslaha mean to bring benefit. Yes, unrestricted benefit. The translation to it is not 100% accurate, because this is found in the books of principles of jurisprudence, which is we're not going to endeavor to it. But the aim behind it, because a lot of people get confused, they say to you, for example, dotting the Quran is an innovation. Dotting the Quran is an innovation. What do you say about that? Is that a misguidance? Or they would say to you, putting carpet in the masjid is an innovation. Would you say this is a misguidance? Or using the microphone or a laptop or a cassette tape or any of these, or recorders for lessons, all this, it's an innovation. What do you say about this? That mean all of these are misguidance? This is where the misunderstanding happens. Would say, hang on a minute. Are these things you're talking about, are they ibadah on their own, or a mean to a ibadah, or a tool you use for a ibadah? And are these what you're talking about, a worship in their essence, or they're not? That is the issue. We said the innovation is to worship Allah through it. Yani, let's take for example, the carpet. The carpet, putting carpet in the masjid. Do you worship Allah and you say that it's extra virtues by praying on carpet, or just the mean something it is there so people can sit on it, it's comfortable. It's a meme. It's a tool to comfort people. It's got nothing with the ibadah. Once you say, my ibadah is multiplied because I'm praying on the carpet, then this is an innovation. But once you pray on the carpet, there's nothing wrong with it. For example, drawing lines on the carpet to stand on. Do you believe that standing in line has virtues, or praying on the line and putting your toes or your heels on the line has the virtue? You believe that the line on the ground to aid you stand properly. As the Prophet ﷺ used to use similar tools when he used to use his stick to straighten up the companions radiallahu anhum. So you don't believe that standing on this line is ibadah. You believe you've been in a line, whether you are on a line or you're not on the line, being in the line, this is the ibadah. And it's got nothing to do with it, whether there is a line on the ground or not. This is a mean for you to be able to pray on. This is what it is. طيب. How do we understand the definition we gave? For example, مَا كَانَ الْمُقْتَدِي لَهُ مَوْجُودًا. Let's take, for example, as we said last week, the mawlid of the Prophet ﷺ. Was there a necessity for it in the days of the Prophet ﷺ? According to the innovators, you say, why do you do the mawlid? But you want to know the reason, so you can analyze it better. Why do you do the mawlid? They say, okay, the mawlid is for people to see that we love the Prophet ﷺ, to get closer to the Prophet ﷺ, and so on and so forth. The companions radiallahu anhum, were they racing against each other to love the Prophet ﷺ and to show the love? And they were trying their utmost to show their love to the Prophet ﷺ. Didn't they used to, when the Prophet ﷺ spit, take the saliva and rub their face with it, and take rice on the wudu so they can rub themselves with it? Anything prevent them from doing the mawlid? No, not really. According to the innovators, that there's nothing wrong with it. So nothing wrong with it, according to the innovators' mentality. Was there anything? Yani, if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to come today and see you performing the mawlid, would he say yes, he will join you? See, according to your mentality, there was no prevention from preventing it from happening. We say, yes, there was a prevention in the Sharia. It's not practiced. And nothing stopped them, the companions, from doing it. So nothing prevented the companions. Even the necessity existed. Nothing stopped the companions from practicing it. But they knew by the Sharia you're not allowed to do it. And you cannot use the excuse that it was no birthdays in their days. Of course, there was the Hellenic civilization. There were Christians, there were Jews, and they had something called Nairuz. Yeah, I need to celebrate. Of course, there is many ways of refuting the issue of mawlid. Just to give an example. طيب, let's take another example for this. To specify the night, the middle night of Sha'ban. Was there a necessity for it? According to the innovator, yes, to bring us closer to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deeds are presented and so on and so forth. طيب, as the hadith said, was there a necessity for the companions to pray all night that night and call each other to it? Was there a necessity? Of course there is. Has anyone prevented them from doing that? No. But they are the best of people. They should have done it, but they didn't do it. Nothing prevented them from doing it. Thus, because nothing prevented them from doing it, and the necessity existed, and they still did not do it, if you practice it, it becomes an innovation. Do we understand the point clearly? So let's take an issue of a microphone. Do you worship Allah using a microphone? No. It's a tool to spread the message. طيب, the necessity of it existed in their days? Yes. But was there something prevented them from using the microphone? Yes. It didn't exist. Yeah, if there was, they would have used it. Now, another issue. For example, collecting the Quran. Was there a necessity to collect the Quran? Yes. Of course there was, so the Quran doesn't get lost. Was there something preventing them? Yes. The revelation, the continuous revelation, it prevented them from collecting the Quran. But once the Prophet ﷺ passed away, the first thing they've done is to collect the Quran. Same thing type, dotting the Quran. Is dotting, was there a necessity for it in their days? No, not until people start to make a lot of mistakes. The ulama dotted the Quran. But when you read the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read it this way, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And today you read the قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. The Quran really is what you recite. What you recite. Whether it is dotted or not dotted, it is what you recite. As long as what you recite is correct, all these dots are means and tools for you to be able to read the Quran. To read the Quran. And also, ya akhi, we said, بِبَا لَمْ يَشْرَعْ. And we said part of the tashri', part of the law giving, is the consensus of the ummah. And the ummah, since the Quran is dotted till today, on consensus that this is the mushaf. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we see to differentiate, because lots of people get mixed up with this. Tayyib, some people would say to you, isn't the second Adhan, the second Adhan? Some mashayikh, may Allah reward them, from Ahlul Sunnah, they say, we should stop because the reason for it, it doesn't exist anymore. Because they said, Uthman radiallahu anhu, who used to make the second Adhan because there was a necessity for it to bring the people. We say we should leave it as it is. As it is in the haram, in Mecca, in Medina, and the fatwa of the modern ulama, it, second Adhan is not an innovation. Because why? We have a principle of this is the sunnah of Uthman. And that time none of the companions complained about it, nor opposed Uthman radiallahu anhu. That means they have accepted it, and it becomes part of our sharia. Of course, some of our mashayikh, may Allah bless them, they have said you should only do an adhan because the necessity for it, the need for it doesn't exist anymore. Of course, this is not a reason to start big arguments amongst the brothers, and we leave it as it is. The last part of our lectures, we need to explain the issue of a praiseworthy bid'ah and a blameworthy bid'ah. Some people would say, you have ulama who divided bid'ah into praiseworthy innovation and blameworthy innovation. And they attribute that to Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Now we need to understand what is behind it. But before we go into this, there is a hadith that people get confused all the time with it, and they do not give it its appropriate meaning. The hadith, which is collected by Ahmad, Muslim, and the Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana," whomever starts in Islam sunnah hasana, goodly sunnah, falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha, he gets the reward of it and the reward of whomever practices it, min ba'dihi min ghayri an yanqusa min ujurihim shay'an, whomever practices it after him without being deprived from any of their reward. وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيَّعًا, and whomever starts in Islam an evil sunnah, فَعَلَيْهِ وِزْرُهَا, he gets the evil reward of it, وَوِزْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا, and the evil reward of whomever practice it, مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, after him, مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ شَيْئًا, without him being deprived or taken away or subtracted from their evil reward anything. What does this hadith mean? Of course, when we studied in the first lecture, we said the predecessors are the most, remember when we said they are the most knowledgeable. Why? Because they have witnessed the revelation. Of course, the ulama here, they said, if we differ about a verse or a hadith, we have to take it back to the context that it's been said in. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say this hadith? By looking at the context and everything surrounding the event, we would know the meaning of the hadith. Here, the Prophet ﷺ, people from the Arabian came to the Messenger ﷺ. They were wearing wool, and he saw them really in need. So he asked the people to give him sadaqah. فَأَبْطَأُوا عَنْهُ, as the hadith said. Yani some people did not really haste to give sadaqah. Until it was seen in the face of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was not happy. Then a man from the Ansar, he came with a bundle or a bag of wariq, silver. And some came in another narration, he said, some came with food, some came with other clothing and so on and so forth, until it all piled up. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very happy and he said this, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة. So whoever starts in Islam, a good sunnah. طيب, how do I understand this? Of course, there is other ahadith. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, that Sheikh al-Albani said it's authentic, أَدَّلُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. Whomever shows or points out to goodness, he gets the reward as if he has practiced it. Another hadith also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people who can give most benefit to people. And also in another hadith, he said, in a hadith collected by Ibn Majah, he said, أَيُّمَ دَاعٍ دَاعَ إِلَى ضَلَالَ. Any caller or any da'i, he calls to a misguidance, and people have followed him, so he would get the evil reward of it, and the ones who follow him, and nothing is subtracted from that, or nothing reduced from that, he will get the complete evil reward, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, plus the evil deed that he done, all piled on him, and so on. The hadith goes on. طيب, what does this hadith mean? As you see, this person, he started a new ibadah by bringing food or silver or gold or clothing or sadaqah. All this befalls under what? Amal salih, which is sadaqah. Befalls under sadaqah, yes? Has the sadaqah, the sadaqah doesn't have a principle in Islam? So where's the innovation in that? It has principle in Islam, of course. Islam encourages us to give sadaqah. So the man, he started a new sunnah. As you would start, for example, an auction. Let's say an Islamic auction. Or you start a website. That's a sunnah hasan. Or Islamic website you introduce to people. A sunnah sayya for al-iyadu billah, to introduce cigarettes to Muslims. And another ulama, they said to revive a sunnah. Yani for example, for a very long time, the sunnah of aqiqah was hidden from people. When you to slaughter the two sheep, when you have a boy or one, when you have a girl and feed the people, that was sunnah at a time. A lot of people did not know about it. Then it's revived as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised a special sect of his followers. يُحْيُونَ sunnati, they would revive my sunnah after it has disappeared. So this is how it is being interpreted. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whomever starts a new way in Islam, the sadaqah has its principle. Of course, also, when Umar radiallahu anhu said, ni'matul bid'ah, and this will take us into our topic. Ni'matul bid'ah, what a blessed innovation is this. Umar radiallahu anhu said, what a blessed innovation. When he said this, he said this when he saw different groups of people praying the Taraweeh on their own. Yes or no? Praying Taraweeh on their own. And little groups here, little group there. So what Umar radiallahu anhu did? He got the people, all of them, to pray behind one imam. He put pebbles in the masjid, lit up the masjid. And once he was walking, he said, what a blessed innovation is this. Let's take it back to the principle. Has really Umar radiallahu anhu said the word here, innovation, from a linguistical approach or from Islamic approach? Type, why linguistical? We tell you what. Here Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw the people praying together, people praying together the Taraweeh behind one imam, has its roots back in the Quran and Sunnah? Of course, the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed Taraweeh in Jama'ah in Ramadan for 3 days, then he stops. When they asked him, why did you stop? He was fearing that it becomes obligatory on the Ummah. طيب, let's take it back to the rule that we talked about. The necessity to pray Jama'ah in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Taraweeh, existed or not? Yes. Yes, because of the reward. طيب, the prevention existed or not? Yes. because it will become a legislation. It becomes obligatory. So there was a prevention that prevented the Prophet ﷺ from praying the Taraweeh in Jama'ah. Once the Prophet ﷺ passed away, was there any prevention? No. There is no tashri', there is no legislation after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why when Umar radiallahu anhu started it again, the principle existed in the Quran and Sunnah when he allowed them to pray again, based on what? On the Sunnah that existed, the Prophet ﷺ, which is the Prophet ﷺ was prevented from continuous praying Taraweeh because it doesn't become an obligation. So as long as we understand this very well. طيب, let's continue further about the issue of dividing innovation into blameworthy and praiseworthy. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i here, when he divided it like this, when he said this quote, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, that there is a blameworthy and praiseworthy innovation, here Al-Imam al-Shafi'i talking about linguistical division, as Umar radiallahu anhu divided it linguistically. He said, when he saw this, he said, what a praised bid'ah is this. So here Umar radiallahu anhu, he used that linguistically. True or not? Not Islamically. Why? Because it has its own principle back in the Sharia. True or not? طيب, let me give you the proof for what I am saying. Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah said, after he quoted Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, Al-Bid'atu bid'atan. Yani Al-Imam al-Shafi'i said, Al-Bid'atu bid'atan. Bid'a are two types. Bid'a mahmuda, a praiseworthy bid'a. Wa bid'a mathmuma, a blameworthy bid'a. Fama wafaqa sunnah fahuwa mahmud. Whatever comes according to the sunnah is a praiseworthy. Wa ma khalafa sunnah fahuwa mathmum. Whatever goes against the sunnah is blameworthy. واحتج بقول عمر, and he used the saying of عمر رضي الله عنه, نعمة البدعة. What a praised innovation is this. So here he said, it's been narrated from the Imam al-Shafi'i, another statement which explained this statement, which he said, قال المحدثات ضربان. The innovation is two types. ما أحدث مما يخالف كتابا أو سنة أو أثرا أو إجماعا فهذه البدعة الضلالة. Whatever is being invented that goes against the Quran or the Sunnah or any of the statement, clear statement of the companions or a consensus, indeed this is the misguided بدعة. You find that in his book, يعني Ibn Rajab's book, جامع العلوم والحكم. Let's see other ulama what have said. Of course, Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the commentator on Sahih al-Bukhari, in the chapter of Al-I'tisam bil-Kitab wa-Sunnah, yani in that chapter, holding to the Quran and Sunnah, he said, فَالْبِدْعَةُ فِي عُرْفِ الشَّرْعِ مَذْمُومَةً. The innovation according to the Sharia is disliked. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said in Al-Fatah, yani his commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 13, page 314, in the chapter of I'tisam, he said, and the muhdathat. And remember, Imam Ibn Hajar is a Shafi'i, according to the Shafi'i method. Listen to what he said. And muhdathat, yani the newly invented matters, that have no basis in the Sharia, and they are called according to the convention of the Sharia, bid'ah. And that which has a basis in the Sharia, that would prove it, then it is not a bid'ah. So, bid'ah is the convention of the Sharia, is blameworthy, contrary to, and underline that, linguistic definition. For linguistically, everything that is newly invented, be it blameworthy or praiseworthy, is called bid'ah. Can you see? So here, Imam Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he made it clear. He said, any innovation to do with the Sharia is blameworthy, is rejected, is misguided. And anything linguistical, anything we call a linguistical innovation, then it could be accepted, praiseworthy, or blameworthy. Based on this, we understand the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i. Let's give you another Shafi'i Imam, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir. And he said in his tafsir, Rahimahullah, وَالْبِدْعَةُ عَلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ Innovation is two types. تَارَةً تَكُونُ بِدْعَةً شَرْعِيَّةً At times it is بِدْعَةً شَرْعِيَّةً يعني إِنَّ شَرِيعًا Innovation in the Sharia. Like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he said, كُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةً Every newly invented matter is an innovation. وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ And every innovation is a misguidance. وَتَارَةً تَكُونُ بِدْعَةً لُغَوِيَّةً And at times it is a linguistical innovation. قَقَوْلِ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عُمَرِ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ As the saying of عُمَرْ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ about Salat al-Tarawih, نِعْمَةُ الْبِدْعَةِ What a beautiful bid'ah. So this is another imam from the Shafi'i method. I'll give you another imam. Al-Mubarak Furi, the one who commented on Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the one who wrote Tihfat al-Ahwadi. He said, فَقَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ The saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, every innovation is a misguidance, مِنْ جَوَامِعِ الْكَلِمِ From the collective word of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. لَا يَخْرُجُ عَنْهُ شَيْءٍ Nothing comes out of it. Nothing excluded from it. وَهُوَ أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ It's a great principle مِنْ أُصُولِ الدِّينِ From the principles of our religion. وَأَمَّا مَا وَقَعَ فِي كَلَامِ السَّلَفِ And whatever it's been narrated from the words of the Salaf, مِنْ إِسْتِحْسَانِ بَعْضِ الْبِدَعِ From praising some innovation, فَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ فِي الْبِدَعِ اللُّغَوِيَّةِ Indeed, it is in the linguistical innovation, لا الشرعية, not the شرعي innovation. فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ And from this is what عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ said, نِعْمَةُ الْبِدَعَةِ So, this will understand this. طيب. Let's also examine one more quote, which is some people use that bid'ah is divided to five. Al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, you know, the Islamic rulings are divided to five. Either it is obligatory, يعني wajib, prohibited, muharram, allowed, mubah, disliked, makruh, مستحب recommended. طيب الإمام العز بن عبد السلام رحمه الله and this is misused so much but we understand because الإمام العز بن عبد السلام رحمه الله he is the one he put this division but he put it on a linguistical division how do we know this because when he said this he gave examples after he divided them to this he said أحدها يعني the first الاشتغال بعلم النحو To practice the knowledge of Nahu, which is Arabic grammar. الَّذِي يُفْهَمُ بِهِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَكَلَامُ رَسُولِهِ With it we can understand the words of Allah and the words of Messenger. وَذَلِكَ وَاجِبٌ And this is an obligatory. لِأَنَّ حِفْظَ الشَّرِيعَةِ وَاجِبٌ وَلَا يَتَأَتَّى حِفْظُهَا إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَةِ ذَلِكَ He said, because the protection of the Sharia is obligatory and we cannot protect the Sharia except by knowing the Nahu. So this is an example of the obligatory bid'ah. Another example, تدوين أصول الفقه, to write down the principles of jurisprudence. What is the innovation of this? He said, with this you are protecting the fiqh. So based on this, he said, these are the obligatory bid'ah. وللبدع المحرمة and the prohibited haram bid'ah. أمثلة منها مذهب القدرية. You know what the Qadariya said about the Qadar? ومنها مذهب الجبرية the جبرية ومنها مذهب المرجئة مرجئيزم ومنها مذهب المجسمة the ones who give figure to Allah سبحانه وتعالى والرد على هؤلاء من البدع الواجبة to refute them is an it's an obligatory innovation so when the ulama refute them he said this is an innovation but it's an obligatory innovation can you see طيب when he said والبدع المندوبة and the encouraged بدعة منها إحداث المدارس building schools وبناء القناطر building bridges small bridges ومنها صلاة التراويح which is عمر said نعمة البدعة so if you see here and here he said also added the art of debate when you debate because the companions never used to debate each other in a manner that we see it today but he said here it is encouraged why because you refute the مبتدعة innovators and والعياذ بالله طيب He said, للاستدلال في المسائل يعني to use it as a proofs in issues if you're really debating for the sake of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Then he said والبدع المكروهة and the dislike بدع منها زخرفة المساجد to decorate the masjids ومنها تزويق المصاحف to decorate the مصحف. That is what they use, but when they come to the examples, they don't give it. The example will give up the meaning. And the allowed bid'ah, al-bid'ah al-mubaha. And he said, for example, to eat extra food, for example, يعني the nice food, التوسع في اللذيذ من المآكل والمشارب والمساكن, يعني to build nice house or to dress nicely or to eat nice food. And here he said, some ulama, he said, this is disliked bid'ah. طيب, so to finalize this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though this division had been put by great ulama, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كل بدعة ضلالة. Every innovation is misguidance. كل, here the word كل means every, with no exclusion. As when you say, الله على كل شيء قدير. إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Indeed, Allah is powerful over everything. And every here means everything with no exclusion. And when he said bid'ah, he didn't say the bid'ah, he said bid'ah, indefinite. So any bid'ah which is to do with Islam. طيب, one would say, كل بدعه. طيب, isn't it كار بدعه? We say again here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about Islamic issues. طيب, what is the dalil? The dalil is another hadith. As we said previously, the Quran and Sunnah must be understood collectively, where the Prophet indicated and he said, whomever invent in a matter of hours something that is not part of it will have it rejected.
What is hukum al-bid'ah fi al-deen? What is the ruling on the bid'ah in Islam? Of course, as we have studied, al-bid'ah is rejected. But as the bid'ah itself, what is the ruling of it? And this is what we need to talk about now. Of course, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they consider bid'ah to be two levels. Not every bid'ah takes the person who falls into it outside the fold of Islam. The first, the most dangerous of bid'ah, al-bid'ah al-mukaffirah, the bid'ah that takes someone outside the fold of Islam, like circumambulating around the grave, so you can get closer to them, and out of glorifying them, sacrificing to the graves and the people inside them, and doing nadhar vows to them, and to call upon them and to make dua to them, and seeking aid and help from them. That is all bid'ah mukaffira wal'iyadu billah. And also like the bid'ah of Jahmiyyah, like they have denied the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the innovations of the Rafida, when they have said that Ali radiallahu anhu, he is qasimun nari wal jannah, he is the one who puts people in Jahannam and people in Jannah. And there is some types of bid'ah which is wasa'il lishirk, it leads, a mean to shirk. But they're not shirk in themselves. Like building structure over graves and building domes over graves and praying near them, thinking that it is blessed to pray there. And also some of it, a sin, ma'siyah, like the mawlids and similar bid'ah. For example, let's take the innovation of wearing a charm. Tayyib. If someone wears that charm, believing that charm creates, underline the word creates, it creates goodness and stops evil from harming you, that is shirk in rububiyyah, and it is major shirk. But if someone believes that it is a reason, it is a mean to stop evil from coming, and Allah created this as a mean, then this is minor shirk. And if someone wears it out of just decoration, this is haram, because you are imitating the people of shirk. Let's take another example. Mother's Day. Translate to Arabic, Eid al-Umm. What does the word Eid mean? Eid is a name that you're giving to something which returns all the time. Aada ya'udu. Ya'ud is repetitive. And you use it to describe a gathering. Whether that gathering is a celebration and joyful or sad, which includes wailing and so on like the Shia do, then this is called Eid. And the Eid itself It is dictated by the Sharia, controlled by the Sharia. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when he came to Medina, there is days the Jahiliyyah, as in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the Medina and they have 2 days where they play and they gather. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what are these 2 days? They said, these 2 days, the days we used to play with in the Jahiliyyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبَدَلَكُمْ بِهِمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمَا يَوْمُ الْأَضْحَى وَيَوْمُ الْفِطْرِ. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has swapped you 2 days better than them, the day of Adha and the day of Fitr. And here, the accuracy in the understanding of the hadith, and of course, I refer you to the book of Iqtida' Sirat al-Mustaqim by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and alhamdulillah, it's been translated to English and it's available. He said that he has swapped you with 2 days. And that means when Allah swaps you with something, it means you have to leave and quit the other day. Then it is not allowed because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sharia dictated the days which is we're supposed to gather and celebrate or make it as a festival. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr, inna li kulli qawmin eida. Indeed, for every nation there is a Eid. So the nation of Islam has its own Ayyad. There is no need to import these innovations, which is Mother's Day and other Ayyad. And this type of innovation befalls under the category of Masiyah, a sin. So not everything is shirk and major shirk and takes someone outside the fold of Islam. Another point here. Is everyone who falls into an innovation an innovator? There is a great rule amongst Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they have this rule. They say if someone falls into bid'ah, not necessarily he is an innovator. Why? Because he could have done it out of ignorance. No one told him that this is an innovation. Like someone who indulged in the innovation of Mawlid out of love to the Prophet ﷺ. He does not know it's an innovation, or he misunderstood, misinterpreted things. Of course, this person is not mubtada, but what he fell into is an innovation, and he's not rewarded for that innovation he fell into. لَأَنَّ because كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every innovation is misguided. So the reward for it is misguided, and it would lead to no good. So, not everyone who falls into innovation is an innovator. طيب, at times we find some words of the scholars, some of our greatest scholars, gave fatwa to something or allowed something that according to the principles of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is an innovation. What is our stance towards that? And this is very accurate issue that a Muslim and a student of knowledge, that a student of knowledge need to know. And listen to the words of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in volume number 19, page 191 in his Majmu' al-Fatawi. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّن مُشْتَهِدِي السَّلَفُ وَالْخَلَفُ. And lots of the mushtahids from the predecessors and later ones. قَدْ قَالُوا وَفَعَلُوا مَا هُوَ بِدْعَةٌ وَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ بِدْعَةٌ. They have said and done something which is an innovation, and they did not know it is an innovation. إِمَّا لِأَحَادِيثَ ضَعِيفَ ظَنُّوهَا صَحِيحًا. Either for weak ahadith, they thought it is authentic. وَإِمَّا لِآيَاتٍ فَهِمُوا مِنْهَا مَا لَمْ يُرَدْ مِنْهَا. Or to some verses they understood from it what is not meant from it. وَإِمَّا لِرَأْيٍ, or for an opinion. رَأَوْهُ وَفِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ نُصُوصٌ لَمْ تَبْلُغْهُمْ. Or for an opinion that they have followed, and there is in this issue a text that they never received. They never came across. And he said also, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on his soul, in the same page, بَلْ يَضُلُّ عَنِ الْحَقِّ مَنْ قَصَدَ الْحَقِّ وَقَدْ اِجْتَهَدَ فِي طَلَبِهِ فَعَجِزَ عَنْهُ فَلَا يُعَاقَبْ. And sometimes a mushtahid is misguided from the truth, even though he is aiming to the truth. And he tried his utmost to seek the truth, but he was not able to attain. This one, he's not punished. وَقَدْ يَفْعَلُ بَعْضَ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ فَيَكُونُ لَهُ أَجْرًا عَلَى اجْتِهَادِهِ. And sometimes he does some of what he was ordered to do, he is rewarded for his ijtihad. وَخَطَأُهُ, as for the mistakes he done, الَّذِي ضَلَّ فِيهِ عَنْ حَقِيقَةِ الْأَمْرِ مَغْفُورٌ لَهُ. As for the mistakes that he done, that he was misguided from getting the reality and attaining the haqiqa, the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنَّا سِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. So see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is making it clear to us that someone, a alim, falls or say something, it is innovation, but he never intended that innovation. طيب, sometimes some of these so-called shuyukh, yani even though they are seeking some of them the truth, but they become extreme Sufis. Anyone who adopt principles, a clearer principle of the principles of innovators, he is an innovator. Like for example, someone who says, my opinion that anyone who falls into major sin is a kafir. This person is a mubtadi' innovator. This person is a mubtadi' innovator. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said in Majmu' al-Fatawi, volume number 35, page 414, وَالْبِدْعَةُ الَّتِي يُعَدُّ بِهَا الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَهْوَاءِ مَا اشْتَهَرَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ بِالسُّنَّةِ مُخَالَفَتُهَا لِلْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ كَبِدْعَةِ الْخَوَارِجِ وَالرَّوَافِدِ وَالْقَدَرِيَّ وَالْمُرْجِئَةِ. And the innovation that the ones who falls into it is counted as from the people of whims and innovation, it is what is known amongst the ulama of sunnah, that if you go against it, you are going against the Quran and the sunnah, like the bid'ah of the khawarij and the rawafid and the qadariyah and the murji'ism. And Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah said, aslu 72 hawa arba'atu ahwa, the basic principle of 72 sects, four whims. فَمِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ تَشَاعَبَتْ الْإِثْنَتَانِ وَسَبْعُونَ هَوَى. And from these four, the 72 sects appear, الْقَدَرِيَّةِ وَالْمُرْجِئَةِ وَالشِّيَعَةِ وَالْخَوَارِجِ. Also, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in Majmu' al-Fatawi, volume number 3, page 348, وَمِثْلُ هَؤُلَاء إِذَا لَمْ يَجْعَلُوا مَا ابْتَدَعُوهُ قَوْلًا يُفَارِقُونَ بِهِ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يُوَالُونَ عَلَيْهِ وَيُعَادُونَ كَانَ مِنْ نَوْعِ الْخَطَأِ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَغْفِرُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَطَأَهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ. Shaykh al-Islam said, as for the ones who did not make their innovation a rule that they deviate from the jama'ah of the Muslims, يُوَالُونَ عَلَيْهِ, they become allies on that principle, وَيُعَادُونَ عَلَيْهِ, and they cause enmity based on that principle, كان من نوع الخطأ, it is from, يعني that they've done, it is a mistake. والله سبحانه وتعالى, he would forgive the believers' mistakes in that. So here he is saying that, يعني we understand what Shaykh al-Islam is saying. He said, really the people, when they really become innovators, when they make rules and قواعد in Islam, and they start separating the Muslim Ummah and causing misguidance and making wala and bara based on these fundamentals, and then these people are called innovators. Yani, as the Khawarij have done, and the Mu'tazila and the Rafida and others. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we seal this series of lectures by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path, to keep us on the straight path, and to forgive our sins, and make us amongst the righteous, and give victory to the mujahideen fi sabilillah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.